But let your adornment be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. A school teacher was giving a lesson on fractions, and she asked a little boy, she said, "Johnny, if there were seven people in a family, five children, a mother and a father, and there was one piece of pie, what fraction of the pie would you get?" Johnny said, 1/6. And the teacher said, "Johnny, don't you know anything about fractions?" And Johnny said, "Yes, ma'am, I know about fractions, but my mother would say that she didn't want any." The self-sacrifice and the love of motherhood and mothers is a proverbial item in all of our thoughts and minds. Not only such, but also the care and the great length that our mothers go to in providing for us. A little boy went to camp. His director was having an inspection at camp, and so he was going through one boy's bedroll and he found a big umbrella. And the director said to the little boy, "Son, don't you know we don't need umbrellas at camp?" And the little boy said, "Yes, sir, I realize we don't need umbrellas at camp, but have you ever had a mother?" Today we recognize the great contribution, the significance, and the importance that our mothers have made, our Christian mothers have made. You know, as we think about it, we do owe such a great debt of gratitude to the women in our lives, to our mothers, whether we're men or women. Motherhood is one of the unsung positions and professions in America and indeed in the world. If a woman goes out and gets a teaching certificate, then she becomes a professional. But if she simply teaches her own children, she's simply a mother. Or if she goes out and gets an accounting degree, then she's an accountant, a professional. But if she handles budgetary concerns in the home, then she's still just a mother. Motherhood requires so many skills that we simply take for granted. I think of things like teaching and interior decorating and cooking and dietetics and psychology and personal hygiene and sociology and theology and law and medicine and household equipment and clothing, plus a whole lot of other concerns that our moms have to know about in order to bring us just from babyhood to adulthood. What special professional characters they are, and we want to recognize them for the contribution that they make. But this morning I want to think with you about the power of a Christian mother. The power of a Christian mother, based on 1 Peter chapter 3, I want to recognize first that a mother's power is evidenced in her ability to shape her children. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Some children really love children's church, don't they, Daddy? A Christian mother's power to shape her children, first in the area of shaping her children in his or her decision to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible is full of examples of how mothers have influenced their children. One example is, or several, whenever a king is recorded in the Old Testament, did you know that if he was a good king, more often than not, that there would follow by the king's name the name of his mother? We also know about Paul's mention of Timothy's mother and his grandmother. And then there is the boy who had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And I was wondering, as I thought about examples of motherhood, that we have never recognized the mother who fixed that boy a sack lunch that day. You know, to go out and to follow Jesus around here, you'll need 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And just imagine how God used what was provided, perhaps, by some mother for a boy. Mothers have a tremendous influence on their child's decision for Jesus Christ. Paul mentions a grandmother, Lois, in 2 Timothy 1:5. Her name means agreeable. Indeed, our grandmothers have that kind of quality, agreeableness. But here is one who went further than that, in that she affected her child's decision for Jesus Christ. All of us can recall some woman, whether mother or grandmother, who has influenced our lives. I remember my own grandmother, who in fact fulfills this very quality in 1 Peter chapter 3. The adornment of the hidden person of the heart. Not merely being concerned with the putting on of dresses and of the braiding of hair and wearing of gold jewelry, but that imperishable quality of a gentle and a quiet spirit. There was my grandmother, never said a word to me about Christ, but whose silent witness was a powerful witness for the Lord Jesus. Mom, what tremendous power that you have. You have a power to shape your child's decision for the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you doing something to shape his or her decision, Mom? Do you know where your child is right now, spiritually? Are they Christians? I didn't say, can you get them to say, do you love Jesus? I have never met a child who would not say, I love Jesus. But friends, I've met a lot of children, and I've met a lot of teenagers, and then adults who do not know Jesus as their Savior. And Mom, you have such an extraordinary ability and power to shape your child for Christ. But mothers also have a tremendous influence, not only on their child's decision for Christ, but also on their child's service to Christ. Monica was a godly woman. She prayed for her son, Augustine, a saint in the early church who initially was not a saint. He was rebellious. He was God-defying. But this mother prayed for her son. Monica's husband was a louse. He would come in and beat her, being in a drunken stupor, but she prayed for him too. And one day, in the midst of his beating, in the midst of his drunkenness, he dropped to his knees and he prayed to the God of his wife that he would forgive him of his sin and change his life. And God did that. But Monica continued to pray for her son. He was going to Italy. Oh, God, keep him from Italy. But he went to Italy. And while at Italy, though, through this mother's prayer, her son was converted. And Augustine became the most influential theologian in the Christian church. The Roman Catholics claiming, the Protestants, Calvinists claiming. Through a mother's prayer, the shape of Christianity in the world has been shaped. The power of you mothers to shape the child's, a child's service for Christ as well as his decision for Christ. There is an all-important principle, Mom, that I would encourage you to teach your child, and this is by way of exhortation. There has crept into the Christian church the idea that you can believe the Bible is the Word of God while also believing that there are errors and mistakes in this Bible. It is called neo-orthodoxy from some 50, 60 years ago, but there is a new wave within orthodoxy itself, within the Reformed faith, within Calvinism and Presbyterianism. And I want to encourage you, Mom, that you teach your child to live by the standard of the Word of God, not just your social standard, not by your ideals, not to fulfill your goals, but to teach your child to live by the standard of the Word, but that you teach him first that this Word is God's infallible rule. It is without error. That is the first principle that you must teach him to live by. A Christian mother has power. Power to shape her child. But also a Christian mother and a wife has the power to sharpen her husband. In Proverbs 27 we read these words, "As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." I mean, we need each other, and so that mother and that wife has been placed in her home in order to sharpen her husband. Now, some people might think that I mean by sharpen criticism and nagging her husband, but I don't mean that. The idea of nagging and henpecking became clear to me the other day. Katie Turning, you don't mind if I tell them this, do you? Katie Turning, it's not about her, it's about her bird. She raises birds and she has a couple of cockatiels. And the female cockatiel was ready for a nest, but the poor male did not have a place to put it. And so she pecked his head. She did. She pecked his head and all down his neck until he has absolutely no hair on his head and neck. He looks like a miniature buzzard. I've often wondered what henpecking meant, and now I know. A Christian mother, a wife, has the power, though, to sharpen her husband. How can you do that, Mom? How can you do that, wife? You have the power to sharpen your husband by bringing out the best that is in him. That's one reason that God puts you in your particular home and in the relationship with the husband that you have, so that you can bring out the best in him. Is that your goal? Your goal? Great men, noble men, good men have, to a large extent, always had great women and noble women and good women supporting them, sharpening them. I do not mean to imply that I am great, noble, much less good. When I pay tribute to my wife, about whom someone said she is the perfect preacher's wife, somebody standing next to him said, "Now all she needs is a perfect preacher." We recognize the qualities that our mothers, our wives have, but you have the power to bring out the best. I know an elderly lady, let me tell you. This lady is one of the most dignified, without being stodgy, one of the most noble-bearing women that I have ever known. I have seen her in the context where people ordinarily are very anxious and insecure and fighting among themselves and ugly toward one another. When her presence enters a room, there is a sense of dignity and nobility about this woman. She's not a theologian, she's not a speaker, she is not an author, she can't sing, but because she is noble and pure and good, she naturally brings out those very qualities in those around her. What an extraordinary woman. But that is what God says to you ladies, to you wives, to you mothers, that you have the capacity of doing, that if your adornment is not with the braiding of hair, the wearing of clothes, not with an outward appearance, but rather with the adornment of the personal life, the hidden person of the heart, the imperishable quality of a gentle and a quiet spirit. Bring out the best in your husband, indeed. But it works both ways, doesn't it, men? I mean, we too ought to bring out the best in our wives, and unfortunately, if there's any place where the worst is brought out, it's in a marital relationship, isn't it? You really get to know that person in a marital relationship. That is why it is so important that you live in such a way that you bring out the best in one another. You have the power to sharpen your husband by bringing out the best in him, but also by simply being what he is not. By simply being what he is not. I do not mean by that if he hates you, then you love him, or if he is mean, then you be kind. What I mean is that you simply be yourself, mom and wife, and you let him be himself, but don't be afraid to be who you are. You see, I talk to mothers and wives frequently. And one of the greatest problems that Christian wives have is that because they want to be a good little Christian wife, they will sit back in a corner somewhere and benignly smile at whatever goes on in the home, believing that she is practicing submission to her husband. That is nonsense. There is a recent book which has appeared, and the theme is on equal partnership. I do not mean to say that the husband is not the head of the home. Indeed, he is the head of the home. But the idea that some Christian women have about submission is an abomination. You see, women who are not themselves, wives who are not themselves in the home for fear that they are not submitting to God or their husbands, make two great errors. One is that they are denying, in fact, what they really are. But secondly, they are denying what God has put them in the relationship to be and to do. Why has God made you? Why did God put you in that relationship? Simply to be there, to stand around, and to watch what goes on in the home? God has put you there in order for you to sharpen your own husband, your mate, and that relationship with him. You see, if you make the error of not being the you that you are, I mean not speaking up, not being willing to articulate how you feel and what you think, you see, that is not submission, mother, wife, to sit there, to not say. Now, I'm against nagging and the criticism, but I have seen so often that the opposite is happening in the Church of Christ and is wrong. The result of the error will inevitably be, wife, mother, a disrespect for you on the part of your husband. No husband will respect you if you do not participate in the relationship. What kind of relationship is it if he doesn't hear what you have to say? That's why God put you there, mom. Also, then that leads to a depression or a defeated life too, if you cannot be what God intended you to be. It leads to the demise of a meaningful relationship, and then ultimately something that will end up in the divorce court. Now think about this. You have the power to sharpen your husband by being what you are, so that what your husband is not, you will be. You have the ability to sharpen your husband. You have the ability to shape your children. But there is another area of the power of a Christian mother. A Christian mother has the power to serve her church. Many women today are frustrated over their lack of involvement in primary leadership roles in business as well as in the church. In the Wall Street Journal not too long ago, there was singled out for attention the increasing number of problems among women today, especially those who are now in some kind of business-related occupation. It's indicated that health officials say that 1 in 3 problem drinkers is now a woman. Only 10 years ago, it was 1 in 6. The article goes on to report that a growing number of women smoke more now, suffer from heart disease, commit suicide, that they are involved more in property crimes such as embezzlement, fraud, and forgery, and that this crime rate has doubled in the past 10 years. And the very time that ERA and NOW have been claiming women's rights, women ethical influence has been morally diminishing in their own lives and in their own homes. What a sad commentary. Many women are anxious for primary leadership roles. But I want to tell you, motherhood is a primary leadership role. We've just looked at some of the women who influenced history from the Bible. There are others. We could talk about Deborah and Hannah and Esther, and then there were some women who influenced history who were bad, but nevertheless they influenced it powerfully, like Delilah and Jezebel and Bathsheba. During Christ's own lifetime, listen to this, ladies and men. During Christ's lifetime, we can note the significant contribution of women. There was Mary, the mother of Christ, and there was Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. Jesus' closest friends, seemingly, were 2 women and 1 man, Lazarus, other than Peter, and Mary and Martha. Always went back to Bethany to be with those close friends of his. As the disciples traveled around, we have the picture in the Bible of these men moving about. It has also been suggested that perhaps the women even followed, or at least they supported the disciples as they went around to different places. Look at the cross. When Jesus is crucified and everybody forsakes him except for 1 disciple, there are still the faithful women gathered about Christ's cross. Look at the open tomb. Who is the first to get there? Why, it was Mary going to the tomb. The women were allowed to look in first. I've been studying the book of Acts and noted the significant contribution that women have made in the service to Jesus Christ and His church. I don't mean just as mothers, but there were women who contributed financially. They prayed, they provided leadership, they witnessed to others, they were involved in apologetics and defending the faith. Women have made a significant impact on the Church of Christ throughout history. Mothers have the power to shape their children's lives, to shape their children, to sharpen their husbands, to serve their church, And then finally, you mothers, you ladies, have the power to salt your world. I mean to season your community. I mean to change your environment. History is full of women who had an idea and who stuck to it and who started a revolution. It is suggested that every major deviation from Christianity has been started by women. Now that's a dubious honor, and I don't know if it's true. That is an estimate. It is certainly true of Christian Science and Mary Baker Eddy. It is certainly true of Islam, where Mohammed, although he is the recognized one, when he seemed to first get religious impressions, it was through the influence of an older woman in his life that she encouraged these visions that he was having. You see, she had an idea and she stuck to it and she started a revolution. There is the organization current in the world today called MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving. There was a mother who had an idea and who stuck to it and who started a revolution. Whatever you think of Madeline Murray O'Hare, the founder of the American Atheist Association, she did have an idea and she stuck to it and she started a revolution. Whatever you think of the National Organization for Women, which supports the ERA, the NOW organization started by a few women, had an idea and they're sticking to it and they're starting a revolution. What I want to say and challenge you, mothers and ladies and men as well, as you listen, I want to challenge you to get one idea, and that one idea may be Jesus Christ and your devotion and dedication to His Word. That you would stick to Him and be faithful to Him, and that you would give your life to Christ, that He would be your idea, and that you would start a revolution in your neighborhood, in your church, and in Gadsden, Alabama. Mother's Day, Christian mother, you have an extraordinary power. It is said that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. You have the power to shape your children. You have the power to sharpen your husband, to bring out the best in him. You have the power to serve your church. You have the power to salt the world. If you have this idea, that is Jesus Christ, and you're dedicated to Him, you can start a revolution. You can change your environment. Will you give yourself to Him, Mom? Dad, will you give yourself to Him? Young people, let's give our hearts to Christ, that He would be the sole alone commitment in our lives, and that we would see that revival of Christ Church among ourselves and in Gadsden. They had an idea. They stuck to it, and they started a revolution. Let Christ be your idea. Let's pray.